Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, the Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, May 16th, 2024, and we are continuing to read in the Big Book in the chapter There is a Solution, page 20, the first full paragraph, which starts with, you may already have asked yourself through to what do I have to do? Today's readers are Tammy M., who will read the text, Sherry Z. will read a vision for you, and Dana P. is our backup. Our newcomer greeter today is Loretta N., and Leslie M. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, May 15th, 10 a.m. Eastern meeting, 21,405, and for Thursday, May 16th, which is today, the 7 a.m. Eastern, 21,406. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contribution, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And now, Patty F. in Massachusetts is going to kindly read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Patty.
Hi, this is Patty F. from Massachusetts, the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patty F. in Massachusetts. And next, Carol B. in Toronto is going to read the traditions of OA for us. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Carol B., compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. These are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever optional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I wish you all joy today.
Thank you, Carol B. in Toronto. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direction for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we're going to resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter There is a Solution on page 20, and we're going to be reading and commenting on the first paragraph you may have already asked yourself through to what do I have to do? And I'd now like to invite Tammy M. to unmute, read the paragraph, and please share her thoughts with us. Good morning, Tammy.
Hi, this is Tammy, Grateful Compulsive Overeater. Okay, you may have already asked yourself, why is it that all of us became so very ill from drinking? Doubtless you are curious to discover how and why, in the face of an expert opinion to the contrary, we have recovered from a hopeless condition of the mind and body. Sorry. If you are an alcoholic who wants to get over it, you may already be asking how. You may already be asking, what do I have to do? And I'm going to pass on my sharing because I have a really bad cough right now.
Okay, Dana P., could you unmute, please, and please share on this paragraph? Thank you.
Yeah, good morning, Susan. Thank you so much. And thanks to everyone who's here participating and doing service. It's a really, it's really an honor. You know, this paragraph, it's so funny. I've been bouncing around this morning, getting ready for work and thinking, oh, great, I can bow out, right? Well, here I am sharing. I ask why? Well, I can ask why about that too. And here's the reason why, because I need to speak this morning. There is no solution in the why. How do I say this? Children, two-year-olds ask a lot of why, because they don't understand. And they learn from the answers that they get to the question of why. Well, I never learned a whole lot from the answers to the questions of why. And they're talking about alcoholics here. And certainly Dr. Silkworth answered the why of it. But he was talking about the physical problem. And what I have is an obsession of the mind. I have a figure it outer. I have a calculator. And I have a solution-oriented why brain. And this doesn't come from my brain. The answer doesn't come from my brain. I tried all different solutions to the answer to the question of why. It's a physical problem. Well, the real problem is in my mind. And it's something that psychology couldn't figure out, nothing could figure out, and certainly my mind could not figure it out. So when I came to this program and I saw that there was a solution, and I hear people on the line every single day with a solution. And what I know to be a fact for myself is that the solution for me is in my connection with my higher power. It is in the spiritual experience. I also tried all different kinds of ways to get to that. And the only way that I have found is the instructions that are contained in this big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is the 12 steps. And through that process, I found the how. So what do I have to do? I have to do the work that is required, beginning with stopping and admitting that I'm powerless until I get the connection. So I'm going to pass with that. Thanks so much for allowing me to share. Everybody have a great day.
Thank you, Dana P. All right, if you came in halfway through Dana's share, we are on page 20 and there is a solution. The first paragraph, you may already have asked yourself through to what do I have to do? Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So I'm now ready to take our first lineup. If you could give me your first name, your last initial, and the state or country that you're calling from. Who would like to share this morning?
Hi, I'm Erin from Wyoming.
I heard somebody from, hold on 1 second. I heard someone from Wyoming first.
Erin J. from Wyoming.
Great.
And O-H, California.
Mo, thank you.
Elena C., South Carolina.
Hi, Elena, thank you. Who else would like to join this first lineup?
Bruce E. in Florida.
Thank you, Bruce.
Deb E., Israel.
Thank you, Deb.
Joan Marie M. from Nevada.
Thank you, Joan Marie. All right, we will stop there. So here's who we have. We have Erin J. in Wyoming, Mo H. in California, Elena C. in South Carolina, Bruce C. in Florida, Deb E. in Israel, and Joan Marie in Nevada. So if everybody other than Erin J. in Wyoming could mute their lines. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Erin from Cody, Wyoming, and so grateful to hear this little snippet from the big book today about looking for what do I do. And it identified the problem as that hopeless state of mind and body because of the dual nature of the illness, which is that I have the obsession of the mind, which always gets me to pick up. And when I pick up, I have the allergy of the body, which means I can't stop when I pick up. And I have been... Actually, I heard this at this meeting multiple times, and it's hopefully sinking in, that while there is I was at an earlier meeting that talked about this three-legged stool, spiritual, emotional, and physical. But I can't bombard this problem with trying to diet or clean up my food. I just can't do it. I'm just not successful with that at all. The more I focus on the food, the more it grows. So the real answer is always spiritual, because the whole program is spiritual. It's a spiritual solution for this, you know, obsession of the mind, because I'm always going to have the allergy of the body. I'm never going to become spiritual enough that I can have M&Ms and just eat like a lady with M&Ms or whatever edible stuff is. I don't care. It's my stuff. But and I have to surrender at a deeper level. And I have not been willing to even, I've been so selfish with my time, I haven't even been willing to give 5 minutes on a stopwatch to God every day. I mean, I do a lot. I mean, I'm an into action folk, meetings and getting my steps. Well, I'm all doing all these things, but they aren't fixing the problem. The problem is I have to be willing to surrender at a deeper level. And I mean, maybe 50% of the time I weigh and measure. And that's what it has to be, because even in abstinence, no sugar, 3 meals a day, my weight is stuck. And I'm not happy here. And it's not neutral, because it's the body image issues just don't go away. They get stronger. So anyway, I really appreciated hearing this today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Erin J. in Wyoming. And we are now going to go to Mo H. in California. Good morning, Mo.
Hey, good morning, Susan. Thank you for your service and all those giving service. My name is Mo H., and I live in Walnut Creek, California. Well, this is another packed paragraph, as they all are, but, you know, reading each word, you know, and I like the first share, you know, why all of us became so very ill, you know, and then they're curious to ask, to discover how and why. Why we became ill, I heard if I keep asking why, that I'm in the problem, and I need to be in the solution. And the solution is in this book. And they give the answer to the solution here at the last question. What do I have to do? Well, I have to work this program of action. It's not a program of just sitting in the rooms and listening to other people. That may help. But I have to take action. You know, my higher power doesn't come down and go buy the groceries for me that are, you know, sugar-free and flour-free. I have to do that. My higher power doesn't weigh and measure my meals. I have to do that. But my higher power does give me the strength to do that. And that's why they say here, in the face of from hopeless condition of mind and body, they have recovered. And, you know, when I first got on this meeting, and I know I hear a lot of people talking about this, I heard that word and I thought, what? What are they talking about? And I asked my sponsor, and she said, this was her opinion, that recovered meant that they were had neutrality around the food and were working all 12 steps all the time. So this is what I have to do. You know, you are an alcoholic or a compulsive eater who wants to get over it. So I have to desire this. This has to be something more than, you know, a fly-by-night diet that I have done many of those. And, you know, they worked when they worked. And then when I stopped working them, they didn't work. So I have been working this program for many, many, many years. And, you know, I plan to continue working it until I am called to my next life. So, you know, who wants to get over it, you may be asking, you know, what do I have to do? So this book is going to lay it out, what I have to do. And it's very clear. The directions in here are very clear cut, as they say. So I wish all of you a very pleasant day, and with that, I pass. Thank you, Susan. Susan, we can't hear you.
Okay, I'm just gonna go. Elena C. from South Carolina. what struck me is how come I became so very ill from drinking. I did not consider myself being very ill from drinking. Well, my explanation was that I don't have enough willpower to not eat a lot of my triggering foods, or I don't have I did not find the diet that works for me. And so, you know, my action at that time was to just pick up a diet and lose weight. And then kind of, I couldn't keep up with that diet and I gained my weight back. I got into another diet and so forth. And so that was my explanation, that I don't have enough willpower, that I have that. Well, once I ran out of diet, so to speak, and I was exposed to somebody who was in OA and knew a vision for you, who understood the phenomenon of craving and told me, I still kind of didn't believe that it might be possible for me until, you know, I went to a party and I was bringing the cake like always. And I told her on the phone that I'm going to take one bite, one slice, and I'm going to stop there. And she said, well, tell me how, call me back and tell me how it worked for you. Sure enough, it didn't work. You know, so I had no idea what to do. And then I just allow her to to tell me. And when I went into my first way meeting, I still got there to lose weight. And people started talking. It wasn't about the weight. It wasn't about the food. They just started talking to me about the action of the 12 steps. And this is the solution that, you know, every day I have to wake up and cater to my higher power and, call upon my higher power and go about the day as my higher power want me to be. And, you know, people disappoint me. Life disappoints me and pisses me off. And I do have to be aware of that. And I have to be willing to do a 10 step and then turn it over and reach out to somebody else and put myself available for service or think about someone who might be needing my help. You know, and then help others. What I have to do after all of that, I have to give this program away and can't keep it to myself. And that's how, you know, AA was developed, that everybody had to. Yeah. And, you know, this is a miraculous program. It's a one day at a time. And I hope that works for you, especially those who are new to this meeting. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you. Next up, we have Bruce E. in Florida. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. Thank you, everybody that shared here. It's been really, really good. I'm Bruce E. I'm recovered. I'm in Southwest Florida, Fort Myers area. And I've read this before, but I didn't put it together this way previously, but it's a question at the beginning of the paragraph, and then it's a question at the end of the paragraph. So the question at the beginning is, why it is that I got so sick from eating food? You know, food's pretty harmless. Why do I get so sick from eating food? And then at the end of it, it's about, what do I have to do? So in one paragraph, the person goes all the way from all this self-pity about why, which sounds like me, and then down to the end of the paragraph, what do I need to do to get well? So it's pretty amazing that in one paragraph it goes from one extreme to the other, really. And I've gone around a lot. God, why? You know, and the thing that I've gotten into really big in my life in the last 30, 40 years is, God, why don't you heal me? You know, why don't you make me well? You know, I prayed about this. I prayed that I won't compulsively eat anymore. And then I go ahead and do it. Why don't you make me well? You know, and the answer that I've gotten from this program is, God does in well, but he does it through other people, and he does it through this book, and does it through these meetings, and does it through all this stuff, you know. And he did it through coming and, you know, working with a guy, and the guy worked with me, and we read the book together, and I got recovered. So he had a different way to do it than the way I was thinking he ought to do it, you know. So what do I have to do? I have to keep working this program. I can't give up. You know, I can't just say, well, I've gotten recovered, now I'm doing pretty good. I am doing pretty good, but I can't just let it all go. I got to keep working. So thanks a lot for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. in Florida. Next, we have Deb E. in Israel. Good morning, Deb.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. This is Debbie, recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I was just noticing how why sounds a whole lot like I. And I asked why a lot, like a lot of people have shared. I asked that a lot in the beginning, like why I was angry. Like I was like, why do I have to have this? Why do I have to put in so much work to recover? Like why can't I just eat whatever I want, like all the people around me seem to be able to. Like, why can't I just, you know, why do I have to have this problem? Why do I, there was a lot of like whys. And the whys all kept me in the eyes, right? They kept me focused on myself. They kept me focused on my will. And what I've learned is to, like, that's not what this program teaches me. It doesn't teach me to be focused in on myself. And it has me focus on being of service and connecting with a power that's greater than me and seeking answers from that power, but not these kinds of answers, not asking those kinds of questions, asking the questions, how can I be of service? You know, what is it you want me to do? What is your will for me? Those are the questions that I've been taught to ask, and those are the questions that get me somewhere. And the last sentence here, what do I have to do? Like, I hear that and I read that, and the immediate visual I get is like someone kind of like showing up, rolling up their sleeves and going like, okay, what do I need to do? Like, it, to me, it's somebody who's ready. It shows someone who's ready to do the work, ready to accept that, like, this is going to be a long journey. It's going to be hard, but they're willing to do it. You know, that's how those words, how I imagine them. And yeah, I think that's all I have to share on this. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Deb E. in Israel. And next up, we have Joan Marie M. in Nevada. Good morning, Joan Marie.
Good morning. Thank you for your service and everyone that shared. I especially like the whys, and the solution is not in the whys. It's the solution is in doing this step and doing these steps and living these steps. And this book shows you how to do it right there, step by step. And it says, I think I introduced myself, I'm not sure, Joan Marie M. from Nevada, recovered by the grace of God. And so we have recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. So where does it start? It starts in the mind, and I had a forgetfulness. I always would forget where this would lead me after I took the first bite. After I took the first bite, then the allergy of the body kicked in, and I could not stop. Nothing, no human on earth, no anything.
Thank you for calling the Charles River Medical New Patient.
Could everybody please star one and make sure they're muted? Sorry, Joan Marie.
That's okay, thank you. Okay, so where was I? Okay, so who wants to get over this? Who's desperate enough? Who's desperate enough? I was. I could not stop on my own. And I had a faith in God, and I just tried, you know, with that alone. And I know God does that for other people. I mean, I've seen that. I've heard that. But for me, I have to do all of this. And I do the best of my ability every day what I did to get free in the first place. That freedom, you know, someone said to me, well, do you have to not eat that forever? And I said, how free do you want to be? How free? Is it worth it if I eat it and I get sick and I don't feel well? I can feel the effect. No, it's not worth it. I need to do this. And it's God's grace. It's God's power, a power greater than myself that has done this for me. But I had to do my part. I'm willing today. Am I perfect? No. Do I try to be perfect? No, because I can't. But with a God who's a greater power than me, I can do this program. And I want to help others, you know, because in helping others, I help myself, and I get to keep what was freely given to me. What a beautiful program. And with that, I pass and say thank you.
Thank you so much, Joan Marie M. in Nevada. Before I take the next round of names, as a reminder where we are this morning, we are continuing on in the chapter, There is a Solution. The first full paragraph on that page, you may have already asked yourself, through to what do I have to do? So who would like to continue on sharing? First name, last initial, and the state or country that you are calling from.
Denise P. in Pennsylvania.
I didn't catch your first name. I got the P in the Pennsylvania.
Denise.
Denise, thank you so much.
Vicky T. from Florida.
Vicky T. in Florida, and then I heard somebody with the last initial S.
Cheryl S. in Nevada.
Cheryl S., okay, close enough.
Lynn D., California.
Thank you, Lynn. Anyone else? We should have time for one or two more.
Polly Q.
Jan.
Polly, hold on one
Arizona.
Second. Polly. Jan D. Arizona, I got you. And Polly, thank you. Polly Q. And where are you calling from, Polly? All right, you'll share that with us when you share. All right, so I have Denise P. in Pennsylvania, Vicky T. in Florida, Cheryl S. in Nevada, Lindy in California, Polly Q. and Jan D. in Arizona. So if everyone else could mute their line, and Denise P. in Pennsylvania, good morning. Please share with us on this paragraph.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you, everyone. Grateful compulsive eater here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I am, through a vision for you, getting that slow down and take each word piecemeal. And for me, I've understood that the anonymous part of my higher power leading me to the physical that admitted, you know, my body, I by admitting in step one, and in my emotional sobriety in step two, that insanity, only then in three is that full spiritual solution. And I have also seen where my growth and some of my, you know, like, what do they mean? That we are recovered. And I want to say that my higher power has been doing it all. What even standing at my scale, I might put the food, but when I do that, it's a surrender. I'm not doing it alone. I feel my higher power and that presence around me. So in all of those first, second, and third step, there's this source, there's this power that's very quiet, but there. And so I myself, when I'm saying why, I remember a friend saying, having a little sticker on his refrigerator that the 11th commandment is thou shalt not whine. And so when I'm asking the why, I hear my whining. And whining, wine is not the solution, but in the divine is. And in that vine, I just got this by listening today. I'm grafted in. I'm connected. I'm not a branch, trying to wiggle, do on my own. I'm up in the vine of where the life is coming from in the middle. And so lastly is that word recovered. I believe my higher power had the cover, and I needed to have my cover, how is fine. Covering this compulsion, needed it to be pulled back. I needed to discover in that second step where that insane thinking and where how much was the obsession. And then my higher power recovering at me through all that I hear, being connected with members.
That's time.
For you. Thank you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Denise P. in Pennsylvania. Next, good morning to Vicky T. in Florida. Please join us.
Thank you so much. Hi, everybody. This is Vicky T. in Florida, and I'm very grateful to be here. So for me, why
did I become so ill from drinking, eating? I feel that that was God trying to get to me, because I would have never gotten to God. I grew up in a religion that I didn't understand. I respected and I honored it, but I didn't get it, and there was no sense of any kind of deity or anything like that. It was just a bunch of rituals. So I feel like I got ill on purpose because God wanted me. And so I have this spiritual malady that I thought was trauma, depression, not that it wasn't those things, but it masked itself as that. And my selfishness was there as well. And then how I recovered. I tried to work this program like a textbook, but in the sense of like a course. And I was a very good student, very compulsive, very perfectionistic, and studied it and understand it. I could probably teach a course in it. But when somebody put my hand in their hand and then in the hand of God, that's when I found my recovery. And what do I have to do? I had felt like I lost a little bit of my connection with God at one point, and somebody shared with me to get some literature that excites me. And I will tell you, ever since then, I am like so excited about this program every single day. I can't wait to see what God has for me in my morning practice. I'm constantly reworking the steps. I'm finding that 6 and 7 are the smallest little paragraphs, and they're becoming to have a huge, huge impact on my life by continuing the work, hearing my higher power's voice in meetings, sharing, just everything all put together is just a perfect tapestry of the way for me to live in this world in some sort of semblance of normality. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Vicky T. in Florida. Next, we are going to Nevada, Cheryl S. Good morning.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada, gratefully recovered today. And when my kids were little and I said, it's time to go to bed, they said, why? And then I would start to explain, you know, because you need your sleep so that you'll be healthy. But why? And then another explanation, but why? Another explanation, but why? So they really didn't care why they needed to go to bed. They just wanted to delay going to bed. And when I asked this question, why me, why me, why me? What I'm really saying is, I don't care why. I just want to be able to eat what I want to eat and not have this disease. And that's not the case. I have this disease. And, you know, when I start getting into why, I have to ask myself, if I say why me, I have to add a word. Why not me? What's so special about me that I shouldn't have to have this disease? And the answer is nothing. It's nothing. And I don't believe that my God punished me with this disease, that's for sure. It's just who I am. It's just how I was created. And, you know, I am so thankful that I don't have cancer. I'm so thankful I don't have diabetes. I'm so thankful that I live in a country where my problem is too much food instead of not enough food for most of us. And then when I get down to the bottom, what do I have to do? Oh my gosh. If I had cancer and somebody said to me, all you need to do is follow these instructions and your cancer, you'll be recovered from this disease. I can't imagine that I wouldn't get to work doing every single thing that I was told to do and do it 10 times over. I would do anything to be recovered from cancer. that I didn't always feel like I would do anything, and I don't always do everything to be recovered from this disease. I think that's part of that mental twist. I think that's part of this disease. And the other thing I have to ask myself is, what am I willing to do? You know? And so this is an interesting paragraph, and I just want to close with, why not me? And boy, I better get on the stick and do everything I'm supposed to do and continue to do it, because I'm fighting for my life. And with that, I pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Cheryl S. in Nevada. Next, we have Lynn D. in California. Good morning, Lynn.
Thank you so much for your service today. I'm Lynn D. from San Diego, California. And what just stuck out when the reader was reading this morning was the hopeless condition of body and mind. I was okay with the hopeless condition of my body. I had gained and lost over the same 90 pounds three times in my life before I came to program. I could give you the hopeless condition of my body, right? That was very physical. You could see it. Luckily, I didn't have any health problems, but you could see it, right? Tangible, right? The mind was so hard to turn over and to accept that the mental obsession is what caused the hopeless condition of my body. Because don't you know, I was a good girl and I was a good student and I thought I was a good daughter and, you know, all these things, right? Good sister, good functioning member of society. That's what I told myself. So I had to list all the things that I was hopeless about my mind, I remember doing once. And the awareness I got from that and just opening my mind to a new way of thinking. And what if, you know, you didn't know everything? And what if you, like, you know, maybe your mind got you till 19, but it certainly wasn't going to get you to 42 or whatever, right? So the hopeless condition of body and mind, I mean, that sounds like great. Like, sign me up now. But at the time, I didn't, I was in huge denial about that. You know, a lot of people say, and, you know, OA meetings, I just came for the diet. I just wanted to fix the body. But for me, every time the mind the people, places, and things always kick my butt. I have no idea what to do. I did not have a design for living that I grew up with. And so I'm constantly learning and stopping and pausing and asking for higher power. All right, I don't know. This is like a tough situation. Like, what do I do here? You know, I turn to my higher power. I ask trusted people in program for their experience, strength, and hope. And I figure out life. And I change my hopeless condition of my mind. And hopefully my body will change as well. So anyway, I'm Lindy, San Diego, California. Thanks for letting me share. And thank you for doing service today.
Thank you, Lynn. Next, we have Polly Q. And Polly, if you could tell us where you're calling from this morning. Thank you.
Hi, thank you, moderator, for your service. This is Polly Q in Northern California, recovered. I came into the program from a 12-step program known as Al-Anon. I had worked the steps. I had worked the steps through the Big Book. I liked the Big Book. Loved it, actually, you know. But, you know, it was from an Al-Anon perspective. So when I came in to OA, I was old enough to know a few things about the fact that, yeah, man, this probably is a food addiction. And I was okay with accepting that. And I believed in the 12 steps. I had a higher power. I'll just take this back to Al-Anon and, apply the steps the way I did for Al-Anon. That did not work. In fact, both programs fell apart pretty quick, like over a matter of 6 weeks. I came back into the rooms, and I thought, okay, great. Well, I get to know these people, lovely people, and in Overeaters Anonymous. And we never, of course, read the doctor's opinion, ever, ever. Not in the
13 years afterwards that I was in OA. And so, but I gave up a couple of foods and I got a sponsor, and then that really didn't work because I thought I could work the steps the same way I worked them in Al-Anon and it would work for my addiction. Nope, it does not. And I sponsor people today in both programs. And I will tell you, Al-Anons don't have to do anywhere near the commitment to working the steps that the food addicts do. And it's so hard because what do I have to do? What do I have to do now? I have to surrender on a level that really, when I came back in after losing my abstinence after white knuckling it for 13 years, what do I have to do now? I have to work these steps differently. I have to work all of them. I have to do it in a level I don't have to do it in Al-Anon. That is what I have to do. And otherwise, I will relapse. It's a given. It's just that. It's just that tough to live without food for me, without a complete alteration of my spiritual experience and awakening. And with that,
that's time, Polly.
I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Polly Q in Northern California. And next, our last share, and we have 2 minutes. Is Jan D in Arizona, staying here on the West Coast. Go ahead, Jan, you have 2 minutes. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Jan C in Casa Grande, Arizona. So grateful to be on this meeting this morning. What really strikes me in this paragraph is, what do I have to do? And for those of you who are new, just please keep coming back as we study this book and you will find out the details of what you have to do when you've heard a lot of us talk about it. For me, I must continue to grow my spiritual condition with my higher power every day. Do that. I listen to the vision meeting in the morning. I'm trying to do that more often. I just came back from a 2-week trip to Colorado to visit family. I was widowed in January. I've been to Colorado 3 times now with my kids, going to go back again in 3 weeks. And here's what I learned. I've got to stay so close to my program. I need to make outreach calls to see how other people are doing, talk to my sponsor, do my morning prayer and meditation routines, work the steps daily. And above all, I need to be honest with my higher power by being honest through talking to my sponsor and other trusted fellows in this program. Had something kind of dramatic happen while I was there, and I did a little shopping. Then I sat in my car and I used pause, postpone action until serenity enters. And I called my sponsor. She wasn't available. I called another fellow. She was available. And we talked through this. And you guys, I did not have to eat over this big deal. I could turn it over to my higher power. And that's what I'm finding. I have nothing too profound to say. Just keep working the program. I need to work the steps every day. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Jan C. in Arizona. Okay, thank you to this morning's service team, Tammy M., Sherry Z., Dana P., Patty F., Carol B. Please stay on for newcomer, greeter who will be Loretta, M and Leslie announcements. If you need a sponsor, please stay on. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Staying in
good
California,
morning.
Sherry Z. Hi, good morning.
Good morning, visionaries. This is page 164, A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until death.